Our vote is our seed. That's what we sow. And we will live by the fruit that that seed produces, whatever we sow that into. What we have to do and what we need to do and what we must do is to vote with those who identify with biblical values. That is so crucial in this crucial election. So people might say, well, who do I vote for? Well, we identify where each party stands by reading the platforms, studying those platforms. And then what we do is we compare those platforms to what the Bible says. And we then, from that point, determine which platform best aligns with God's words and God's laws. Now, we've talked about this before concerning the importance of those platforms. Politicians are going to be making decisions on our behalf based on those party platforms, the platform that they support. And the platform is the driving agenda for all legislation. It is what they are going to push to accomplish over the next 4 years and then beyond. The decisions that are made in the next 4 years will go out into the future, will go out into our children's future. So we have to realize how important it is that you and I vote now. And we vote biblical values now. We can't put this off and we can't bury our heads in the sand. We have to take action on this. To vote for a platform is to attach yourself to the judgment of that platform, whether it's good or it's bad. Brother Copeland said this in 1998. He said, those who vote, and this is what the Lord spoke to him, those who vote for politicians knowing their immoral policies and platforms better repent. They're partners with those politicians and will be responsible for every baby's death. So where do the parties stand on abortion? Where do they stand on Israel? Where do they stand on the Supreme Court and judges? Where do they stand on same-sex marriage? Where do they stand on education? Where do they stand on religious freedom? Read the platforms. That's why Pastor George is doing this, to give you the Cliff Note version of what these platforms are saying to us. I've heard this over the years. Nobody pays attention to those platforms. Just a group of people come together, they put that down, then they set them aside, and nobody pays attention to them. Nobody does anything about them. Well, I want you to watch a clip from last week's presidential debate. And I want you to see exactly how important those platforms are. Roll that clip.
Number one, he knows that what I proposed. What I proposed is that we expand Obamacare and we increase it. We do not wipe any. And one of the big debates we had with 23 of my colleagues trying to win the nomination that I won were saying that Biden wanted to allow people to have private insurance still. They can. They do. They will under my proposal.
It's not what you've said, but and it's not what your party has said.
That is simply
your party
a
doesn't say it. Your party wants to go socialist medicine.
My party is
and
me.
Socialist
right
healthcare.
Now, I am and the Democratic Party.
And they're going to dominate you, Joe. You know that.
I am the Democratic Party right now. The platform of the
not
Democratic Party
Harris.
Is what I, in fact, approved of. What I approved of.
I am the Democratic Party right now. The platform of the Democratic Party is what I, in fact, have approved of. So now we take a look at the two-party platforms, and what we're talking today is about same-sex marriage. Same-sex marriage. And what do those platforms say about same-sex marriage? Well, the Democrat Party, the 2020 party platform is silent on the subject of marriage, but I might add this, the Democrat Party uses the LGBTQ plus acronym 20 times throughout its party. But the 2016 party platform supported the redefinition of marriage through the Supreme Court's decision on the Obergefell versus Hodges on June 26, 2015. And it says that the Democrats applauded the Supreme Court's decision that recognized LGBT people, like other Americans, have the right to marry the person they love. The Supreme Court ruled the fundamental right to marry is guaranteed to same-sex couples by both the Due Process Clause and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. The 5-4 ruling, 5-4 ruling, we see how important it is, the Supreme Court's decisions that they make. The 5-4 ruling requires all 50 states, the District of Columbia, in the insular areas to perform and recognize the marriages of same-sex couples on the same terms and conditions as the marriages of opposite-sex couples with all the accompanying rights and responsibilities. That is the Democratic stand, and as you just heard the candidate say, he is the Democratic Party, and he approved this Democratic platform. Where does the Republican Party stand on same-sex marriage? We are the party of independent individuals and the institutions they create together. Families, schools, congregations, neighborhoods, to advance their ideals and make real their dreams. Foremost among those institutions is the American family. It is the foundation of a civil society. And the cornerstone of the family is natural marriage, the union of one man and one woman. Traditional marriage and family, based on marriage between one man and one woman, is the foundation for a free society and has, for millennia, been entrusted with rearing children and instilling cultural values. We condemn the Supreme Court's lawless ruling in Obergefell versus Hodges, robbing 320 million Americans of their legitimate constitutional authority to define marriage as the union of one man and one woman. We condemn the Supreme Court's ruling in United States versus Windsor, which wrongfully removed the ability of Congress to define marriage policy in federal law. We do not accept the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, and we urge its reversal, whether through judicial reconsideration or a constitutional amendment returning control over marriage to the states. So we see where those two platforms and parties stand on this issue. Now we go to the Word of God. We go to our platform to compare it. And I have five scriptures that I want to give you. And I'm going to read these scriptures to you, but you can write them down. Where does the Bible stand on same-sex marriage? This is an extremely serious thing. It's very, very serious. And it's serious to individuals. Let me read these scriptures to you. Genesis 2, 25 through 21 through 25. Genesis 2, 21 through 25. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." This is very important to remember. They were not ashamed. When you look at the book of Leviticus, chapter 18 and verses 22, I'll read it to you from the New Living Translation. "Do not practice homosexuality, having sex with another man as with a woman. It is a detestable sin." The King James describes it as an abomination. The Hebrew says it's a disgusting thing. And then in verses 24 through 26 in the Message, It says, don't pollute yourself in any of these ways. This is how the nations became polluted, the ones that I'm going to drive out of the land before you. Even the land itself became polluted, and I punished it for its iniquities. The land vomited up its inhabitants. You must keep my decrees and my laws, natives and foreigners both. You must not do any of these abhorrent things. So you see the description of what God is showing about this kind of lifestyle. Genesis 19, 4 through 7. But before they retired for the night, all the men of Sodom, young and old, came from all over the city and surrounded the house. They shouted to Lot, "Where are the men who came to spend the night with you? Bring them out so we can have sex with them." So Lot stepped outside to talk to them, shutting the door behind him. "Please, my brothers," he begged, "don't do such a wicked thing." A wicked thing. It is a wicked thing. A disgusting thing. An abominable thing. In Romans 1, 26 through 29, the Amplified Translation. For this reason, God gave them over and abandoned them to vile affections and degrading passions. For their women exchanged their natural function for an unnatural and abnormal one. And the men also turned from natural relations with women and were set ablaze, burning out, consumed with lust for one another. Men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies and personalities, the inevitable consequence and penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray, which was their fitting retribution. Again, I'll repeat that statement. Men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies and their personalities, the inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray, which was their fitting retribution. And so, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of Him or consider Him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things not proper or decent, but loathsome, until they were filled, permeated, and saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping, and covetous greed and malice. It's a dangerous lifestyle. God loves all people. And He desires for all people to be saved, to be healed, to be delivered. And if He tells you not to drink poison because it will kill you, it will be well worth it to not drink that poison. It is a dangerous lifestyle. And it's an open door to the curse. It will open the door to the curse. And as we just read a few moments ago, the results of this kind of lifestyle, it says, don't pollute yourself. The pollution of the body, the mind, the spirit. Don't pollute yourselves in any of these ways. Suffering in their own bodies and their personalities, the inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing. We read, don't do such a wicked thing, a detestable sin, an abomination. And it says they were filled, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness and iniquity. Time does not allow us today to go through all of the specific diseases that are connected to the LGBTQ plus lifestyle. It's very serious, extremely serious. One of the things that I did, and we certainly don't have time for all of this, but in the research that I've done and found out how serious this is, how deadly this is, Let me just read a couple of things to you. This is a study that was produced, and it says here, portraying homosexuality as harmless is a key goal of homosexual activists, as homosexual author Yervashi Vaid had admitted. He said, quote, "We have an agenda to create a society in which homosexuality is regarded as healthy, natural, and normal. To me, that is the most important agenda item." This article goes on to say, "The reality, however, is quite the opposite, and was recently conceded by the homosexual newspaper, the New York Blade News." And I'll quote this news article. "Reports at a national conference about sexually transmitted diseases indicate that gay men are in the highest risk group for several of the most serious diseases. Scientists believe that the increased number of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, cases is the result of an increase in risky sexual practices by a growing number of gay men who believe HIV is no longer a life-threatening illness." And then it says this chapter will examine the significantly elevated health problems experienced by homosexuals, most of them the direct consequence of engaging in specific sexual acts and behavior patterns, such as having multiple sexual partners that are common among homosexuals. And it's just page after page after page of the curse. Of the curse manifested. I'll just read a couple of these to you. These are medical studies, research studies that have been done. Homosexuals increase risk for contracting HIV. Homosexual men, largest risk category. Homosexuals with HIV are at increased risk for developing other life-threatening diseases. And it's just a list, disease after disease after disease. There's been a resurgence of gonorrhea and syphilis among men who have sex with men. And it goes on in detail about this. STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, are rampant in the homosexual community. The Centers for Disease Control reports, several recent reports have documented alarming increases in sexually transmitted infection rates among men who have sex with men. And then this, it's called human papillomavirus, HPV, it's a collection of more than 70 types of viruses that can cause debilitating effects. It's almost universal among homosexuals. I mean, this is not just your mainstream media reporting this. This is the homosexual community reporting this. This is what they're discovering, find out. HPV can lead to anal cancer. There's a link between HPV and cervical cancer. Hepatitis A, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, gonorrhea, syphilis, gay bowel syndrome. All of this, it just goes on and on and on and on in the description of all of this. I was reading an article that from the Reuters news organization, March 11th, 2020. The title of the article was LGBT plus community at heightened risk of coronavirus, groups warn. More than 100 LGBT plus rights group called on the United States public health officials to address the heightened vulnerability of gay and trans people to the coronavirus, warning that their frequently weakened immune systems can put them at risk. Notice the verbiage that's being used. They're really going right along with what has been medically proven heightened vulnerability, frequently weakened immune systems. The rates, it says, of HIV and cancer that are higher than the overall population make LGBT plus people susceptible to the virus. said the open letter signed by such groups as the Human Rights Campaign, Lambda Legal, and GLAAD, a media advocacy organization. Quote, we call on public health officials to ensure that LGBTQ plus community is considered and included in the public health response to COVID-19 based on the potential risk factors in our community. The potential risk factors in our community, said Dr. Scott Nass, president of GLMA, an LGBT plus health advocacy group. Compromised immune systems linked to HIV and cancer put gay and trans people at risk. People who identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual are more likely than straight people to rate their health as poor and have more chronic conditions, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, a U.S. health policy analysis group. According to the 2018 government data, gay and bisexual men account for more than two-thirds of U.S. HIV diagnoses. And CDC data in 2017 found the percentage of trans people diagnosed with HIV was triple the natural average. I mean, you can go on and on and on and see the results of this lifestyle. In addition to the extensive health risks, disorders such as alcoholism, substance abuse, depression, and suicide rate much higher among the LGBT community. The study, also within this study, the mortality rates of homosexuals concluded that they experienced a significantly reduced lifespan. So you see, this is the curse. This is the operation of the curse. Now, let me get back to that in just a moment. But what about the marriage? What about the marriage and the family? What does the Bible say about the marriage and family? Well, in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 4, let me read it to you from the New Living Translation. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and he said, now regarding the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations, but because there is so much sexual immorality, there was a lot going on. All of the things that we are seeing going on today was going on then. And he was identifying it. Because there is so much sexual immorality, each man, which in the Greek is male, should have his own wife. In the Greek is female. Do you see what he's doing here? There's so much of this activity going on. He's actually having to tell them, each man should have his own wife. And each woman should have her own husband. He had to clarify it to the church. It had to be clarified that marriage is between a man and a woman. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs, as opposed to other ways. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband. And her husband gives authority over his body to his wife. So you see, it's very clear here by the writings of the Apostle Paul, the issue of one man and one woman produces the marriage. Now, what about the family dynamic? The family dynamic in a homosexual marriage. Well, first of all, here's what Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4 in the Amplified Translation says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord as his representatives. Side thought here. One of the things that we're going to be talking about, or what we will be talking about next week, is what is happening with sex education in our public schools. This has to be brought out because there's a particular party that is really pushing it hard, and California is already there. We're going to have to go through these scriptures together. We're going to have to review them once again. And I will lay out before you things that children are being taught. And we see it trying to infiltrate the state of Texas. And we can't have that. And what I'm seeing is that it's a power play from the devil to take away the responsibility that parents have over their children. Because I will be reading to you some of the California statutes of what is a child is not required to consent or to talk to their parents about having an abortion. And I'll give you the whole list of those things. And it's contrary, absolutely contrary to the Word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents are God's representatives in the earth to our children. And God, by God, the devil will not steal that from us. He won't do it. Well, this connects where same-sex marriage is concerned. Children, obey your parents in the Lord as his representatives. For this is just and right. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother, male and female. Scripture is quite clear about the family unit. Your father and your mother, male and female. This is the first commandment with a promise that all may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Curse free. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. See, we're beginning to understand the responsibilities of the parent, the unit, the mother, the father, and how important that is. In Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland of grace to your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Mother and father, mother and father, men and women. God designed the family to operate successfully under the leadership of a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. And the characteristics of both men and women are essential, absolutely essential for the godly development of our children. Now, in a few moments, I want to pray over the LGBTQ plus community. They need an awakening, like we all do, but they also need to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and his compassion for them. But there's one more thing that I want to talk to you about. This election is so important. And don't treat the vice presidential candidates as a side issue. They're not. The vice president is only a heartbeat away from the Oval Office. Just a breath away from the office of the President of the United States. Just ask Harry Truman. Harry Truman, who is going along his normal duties as vice president, when President Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, died right towards the end of the Second World War. And all of a sudden, Franklin Roosevelt died after many years in office. And all of a sudden, this obscure individual, he was obscure because President Roosevelt truly dominated the office. The nation turned to him and he stepped into that position. Well, don't treat the vice presidential candidates. You've got to know where they stand. You've got to know where they believe. I thank God that Mike Pence is a believer in Christ Jesus. Don't you? Don't you? So there's Mike Pence, Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris' stand on same-sex marriage is crystal clear. There is no question. There is no gray area. In 2013, as the California Attorney General, she presided over a civil union ceremony shortly after a federal appeals court cleared the path for same-sex weddings to resume. And right before the ceremony, she tweeted, quote, "About to marry the Proposition 8 plaintiffs, wedding bells are ringing." I just thought you need to see a clip of that.
It's not only been, the Trump administration has not only been a disaster for human rights at home, but around the world. Just look at the ugliness. The anti-LGBTQ actions taken by this administration, challenges to the right to marry, barring transgender service members, removing Title IX protection for trans students. 28 states, as you know.
Talk to me. No clip.
They don't have it.
Okay. We'll have it in the second service. You can look it up. You can look it up. She's performing this civil service in the Capitol. And the clip that we had, I cut it off right before they kissed. I didn't want to see it. And I didn't want you to see it either. But you have to know what's at stake. And you have to know the truth about this. Some people would listen to this and listen to me and think, he's crazy. That's ridiculous. But this is where we stand. And this is what we're holding fast to and believing God for. Musicians, I want you to come up here, please. And I want to take a few moments. I want us to stand together. Do I hate the LGBTQ plus community? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There are things written in the Bible, as we just read, about them. There are things written about us that we have to pay attention to. And we have to be ready to receive people into the church to help them, to teach them, to reach out to them. And what I'm believing for is an awakening. Is an awakening, not just for the church, but an awakening for the LGBTQ plus communities. And people that are questioning who they are and their genders and what they're all about, they need to understand and they need to be taught that their identity is in Christ Jesus. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So I want you to agree with me right now as we reach out to them and pray over them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We humbly come before you. On behalf of the LGBTQ plus community, we reach out with our hearts towards them. We see in the Word of God the curse of the law that has opened up over them, and that they can live a life in the Lord Jesus Christ, free, free of that sickness, free of that disease, free of the internal struggles, free from all of that. Father, we love them. We love them. Where our government is concerned, however, we are demanding and requiring that the word of the living God be upheld in this nation, that the necessary changes in the Supreme Court to turn Roe v. Wade, to turn Obergefell versus Hodges, to turn these things around in our nation. Lord, I thank you that you are setting the stage for it. Lord, we pray over the President of the United States and his family. We declare him to be healed and free from COVID-19 in the name of Jesus. Devil, take your hands off of our President. off of our vice president, off of the people that surround him. And Lord, as we press on towards this election day. Father, we go into the voting booth and we take with us the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ and the living Word of God to vote the Bible, to vote the stand of the Word of God. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for an awakening in Washington, D.C. I thank you, Lord God, for the manifest power of the glory of God that is taking place there. I thank you for the awakening that's taking place in the church. The church. And Lord, we honor you and praise you that there are people in the homosexual community, the LGBTQ plus communities, Lord, that are having encounters with you. Face to face encounters with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul came in contact on the road to Damascus, Jesus didn't slap him down. No, he came in contact and had an encounter with the love of God himself. And it was so strong and so powerful that it knocked him down to his knees. The love of the Father. And it was that same man, the Apostle Paul, as Saul, who is filled with hatred, killing Christians, who is the one that wrote 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. So let the church be filled with the love of God. And help us, Lord, to know how to approach these issues in your love and in righteousness and in humility. I repeat, we do not hate those people, but devil, we hate you. And we hate what you do to them. And we hate the confusion that you set into people's lives. And we take our stand over an evil, evil devil. And take authority over him in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I pray for this congregation and those that are watching right now. And I thank you that the healing power is flooding through them. Supernatural deliverance, supernatural power of the Holy Spirit going through them right now. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells within them, is making alive their mortal flesh. COVID-19, bow your knee. There's a name which is above your name, and it is the name of Jesus. And we thank you, and we honor you, and we praise you, O God, for the right to vote in this nation. And we will vote in Jesus' name. Come on, give God praise, everybody. Yeah.